A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 8 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Thursday, 25th February 2021. Father, this is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For you promise your beloved rest between your shoulders. You are ever close to us, Father. We can do all things through you, for you are the source of our strength. As you encourage us, let us be an encouragement to those around us. Remind us when we falter and fail that you uphold us. Your merciful hand has purposed our lives, and we cannot outrun your love or free gift of salvation by Jesus' sacrifice for us. Father, you weave our stories throughout ancient history and on to tomorrow. You number our days and surround us with your love. When we are down, send your Holy Spirit to remind us of your loving kindness. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Listen now for the word of God as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, the verses 31 to 34. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Our text is preceded by an argument as to who was the greatest of the disciples, and no doubt it revolved around their chief personalities, Simon, Peter, and John. Jesus Christ then addressed Peter. His birth name was Simon, but Jesus had said to him, "You are Peter." That was his new name, the Rock, a strong character on which others could rely. But in this instance, when Jesus addressed him, he reverted to his natural name, Simon, and repeated the name as an expression of love and affection and even concern. This is my word to you. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. In other words, Satan had asked permission to severely test the Apostle Peter. God decided to grant his request. You see, friends, Scripture teaches that God allows Satan to test his people occasionally, as for example it happened to Job when he lost members of his family, most of his wealth, and he was struck with sickness. So here was Peter. And Peter, the apostolic spokesperson and one who should have been the solid leader, was on the verge of denying Jesus again and again. Peter had no doubt about the strength of his faith. He wanted to eliminate the fears of Jesus, and replying, Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." In his mind, he was ready for martyrdom for the cause of Christ. But Jesus knew better. He didn't say, "Oh, that's so good to hear, Simon. I'm glad you have such strong faith." Rather, he said very soberly to him, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." It was such a shocking revelation for Peter. Dear friends, this is a story of the tragedy of Peter, and there are a few things that we can learn from it. There is the warning. Peter was well warned by our Lord about impending danger, and we are all called upon to be vigilant too in our work in the world. Jesus said, "So far you have had me with you. Soon you would have to rely on your own resources. What are you going to do about it?" The danger in a very short time is not that you will possess nothing, but that you will have to fight for your very existence. Peter had been warned of the danger to come, but Peter was overconfident. "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you." What I learned from this portion of the text is we need to be mindful of making such outrageous claims like Peter. We need to carefully guard against the things we declare in public, such as claiming that we would never fall into temptation or sin, because we can hardly ever fully understand the way the devil works. Satan is subtle. He attacks the point at which we are too sure of ourselves, for there we are most likely to be unprepared. However, it is important to note that despite Peter's failure, Jesus did not speak to him in anger, but looked at him in sorrow. Peter would have taken it kindly if Jesus had reviled him. But that voiceless, grief-laden look went to his heart like a sword and opened a fountain of tears. Friends, the penalty of sin is to face not the anger of Jesus, but the heartbreak in his eyes. For when we sin, it breaks the heart of God, and all we need to do is weep for disappointing our Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, "I fear that not a few who dream that they possess strong faith are under a strong delusion to believe a lie, and instead of having the confidence which is wrought of the Spirit of God, which is quite consistent with holy mourning, they feel a false confidence based upon themselves and therefore founded upon the sand. And then Spurgeon went on to cry, "Lord, let my portion be with the mourners and not with the boasters. Let me take my share with those who weep for sin and weep after thee." We need to weep over our guilt. But it is comforting to know that Jesus does not abandon us when we fail. He will transform our brokenness and failures into something useful. That explains why he encouraged Peter at the end. "When you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." It is as if Jesus said to Peter, "You will deny me, and you will weep bitterly, but you will gain experience. Experience that will assist you to help those who are going through difficulties." Dear friend, it is sometimes quite difficult to help people until we have been in the same furnace of affliction or the same abyss of shame as they have been. To experience the shame of failure and disloyalty is not always a bad thing. It gives us a sympathy and an understanding that otherwise we would never have won. I don't know the particular temptation you are facing just now as you are listening to me, but I trust God has destined you to influence the lives of people and communities wherever you are. It could be in education, in business, in the pastoral ministry, in health, in industry, in research, in communication, or in politics, and many other fields of expertise to which you belong. Are you facing some temptation and wondering what is happening to you and your big dream as you see signs of failure and not success? I want to remind you that after the failure of Peter, he would bring 3,000 souls to Christ. Before that happened, however, Satan would like to do to Peter what he was about to do to Judas, turn him into suicide. He had already been given permission to try him. Little did Peter know how greatly he was about to be tempted. Many of us would face temptations to the point of wanting to give up our struggles in life. Some of you are already facing fierce temptations from family, friends, colleagues, and from hidden enemies who have disguised as acquaintances. Others have plunged themselves into sinful practices that have held them captive, and you think there is no way out for you. However, Jesus Christ has a word for those who truly repent and come back to him. He said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. And when you have repented, strengthen your brethren." That is part of the wonder of the Christian life. We have the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who prays for us as our advocate with the Father. We can be sure that his prayers are always effectual. When Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work, his ship was in great danger. The wind had died and the current was carrying them towards sunken reefs which were close to islands inhabited by cannibals, so close they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In his journal, Taylor recorded what happened next. "The captain said to me, 'Well, we have done everything that can be done.' A thought occurred to me and I replied, 'No, there is one thing we have not done yet.' 'What is it?' he queried. 4 of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze." Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. "What would be the good of that?" he answered roughly. I told him we had been asking a wind from God, that it was coming immediately. Within minutes, the wind did begin to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. Taylor wrote, "Thus God encouraged me ere landing on China's shores to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required. Dear friend, knowing that our prayers touch the heart of our loving Father in heaven and that he can meet any need, we should be confident that he will hear and answer when we cry out to him. For I pray that your faith will not fail you in the temptations of life." God, there is much to fear and be frustrated about life on earth. There is grave injustice, oppression, and unfairness everywhere we look. Disastrous weather events and horrific acts of violence. We fear losing our lives and our loved ones, disease and disaster. You are our comfort and our comforter through it all. In your word we are upheld, and in your arms we throw our anxieties and find safety and protection. When the world seems to press into our lives harder than we can bear, we know we are never holding on alone. You remind us to be strong and courageous, to rely on you for strength and to not fear. You promise to strengthen us and uphold us through every heartache and conflict. Continue to broadcast the truth of your word into our hearts. Encourage us, Father, always. Help us to navigate the tricky waters of relationships on this earth and hurdle the stumbling blocks the enemy lines our daily paths with. We know in this world we will have trouble, but we do not want to let it steal our joy. For you have overcome this world. Though it can be hard and discouraging, let us take heart in your truth. Squash every distorted thought and lie with the encouraging words of Christ. Come to us, all who labor and are heavy laden, and give us the rest, and receive the rest which only Christ can give. Amen.